Why not, they painted over it.
I'll call the meeting order at 4:00, and let's start the presentation. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Five of us are here, so there is a quorum. The people who are not here are Linda Savage and Arzel Perez. And they're both out of town, out of the country, actually, in terms of Arzel.
He's where I used to was. He's here.
And so we will approve. We will approve the draft minutes, and I want to do that each one separately, and I hope you have read them. The meeting of April 15th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of April 15th?
I move that we accept the minutes from April.
Is there a second?
I'll say I was in here.
All right. Then move the three minutes of the
meeting. Maybe I should not.
April 15th. All those in favor?
Aye.
And on May 4th, that's the day we did the interviews. As three bills with not much, they're very short minutes, but you might want to take a look at them. Just to be sure. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of May 4th?
That was prior to.
That was our. Is there a motion?
Make a motion. I'll make the motion. I move to approve the minutes.
Sorry, second.
Thank you. And moving second to approve the minutes of May 4th. May 9th is when we made our recommendations, and we can probably look at that fairly carefully. Make sure that's what we did.
I move that we accept the minutes as written for May 9th.
Is there a second? Oh. Moved and seconded to accept the minutes of May 9th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. On the agenda now are the update on the Digital Performing Arts Grants. And Jim, you
want to
give us that update?
Yeah, I'll give you the update. So any of you that were at the meeting or watching the meeting, saw it was debated back and forth pretty vigorously. It ended with the recommendation going to a vote. There were substitute recommendations made, and to put it all in a nutshell, in the end, they voted on the awards as recommended. The result of that, of the final vote for the floor recommendation, was 2 votes yes, 3 votes no, and 2 council members abstained. At that meeting, the assistant city attorney stated at the end that there's a state law that, I guess, in the event of abstentions, that the ruling goes, the abstentions get converted over to the majority. Then went on to state that, that being said, the resolution passed. In reality, there was 3 no votes and 2 yes votes. So the extensions technically turn into no votes. So as we sit today, the resolution did not pass. It was a no, but it's on the agenda for Wednesday night to reconsider. So they'll be reconsidering in talking to the city manager. What's going to go to council is this reconsideration, but they're just going to explain that the assistant city attorney misspoke and that it's actually the resolution doesn't pass. So it's a no vote. But at that time, any council member can ask to reconsider the vote. So it may be re-voted on Wednesday night, or it may just be clarified as it was a no. As of right now, it's a no, but there is an opportunity to reconsider it on Wednesday night's agenda.
Just to re-vote the whole.
There's a chance we could end up opening the discussion all over again. You know, if a council member asks to moves to reconsider it, then gets a second, then we could go through that whole process again.
It's a no vote, does it mean they're not going to award the funds?
If it's a no vote, that means the $300,000 that was...
That's the way I saw the meeting.
If the $300,000, if it stays a no vote, the $300,000 goes back into the cultural development fee fund, and
nobody gets in.
Right.
The interesting thing is that until what you've just reported, that because of the city clerk's minutes saying that motion passed, and of course not everybody has seen those minutes, but I think the assistant city attorney's comment was that yes, this passes. So anybody who was watching it up to that point where she said that would think, okay, the motion passed.
That's the way I saw it.
So they're waiting for a letter from us to say, come and sign your contract,
right, exactly.
Which is, like I had communicated with Dottie, we have everything ready to go out, but then we got news late on Monday that the resolution actually didn't pass. So I guess we still have a shot at it on Wednesday, and we'll see what the council says. Now, the 2 abstentions, they could potentially... If they reconsider, they could potentially vote one way or another. Can't really say which way it's going to go. But
if one votes one way and then the other one votes the other way, then Valdivia will have the break.
He'll break the
tie, right?
We'll have seven
because we had a absent. It was 2-3-2.
Yeah.
But it can't be a tied vote if they both.
Oh, okay.
So we're kind of still in flux until Wednesday night. We'll have a decision.
Do you have comments, any comments, questions?
Hmm.
I would strongly suggest that if you can possibly be at that council meeting, you be there. And again, just basically just to say, you know, here's what we did. Here's how we went about it. And these people are, and these organizations are out there waiting for funds. The other thing that could happen, and the motion that could be made immediately after they reconsider, the motion that could be made is that motion that failed at one point, the motion to fund all the organizations except for the schools, Valley College.
Yeah, that was Sanchez's alternate motion.
And so that is a possibility that that's a motion that will be made.
It could. If it's moved to reconsider, then it could open that whole.
Yeah.
It could open the whole thing.
Sure.
So who decides whether it's moved to reconsideration? You say it may be on the calendar for
its
next council meeting.
No. If they're going to reconsider it, it will be this Wednesday night when they reconsider it.
Okay.
So right now they don't know if they're.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they're going to reconsider it or if they're just going to confirm the fact that that it's a no.
Today's Monday, so Wednesday's we'll find out tomorrow, I guess.
No, Wednesday night?
Wednesday night, yes. So before.
And I would say, I guess I'm taking it personally, but I would say that would put us in a very, I think, at least I am feeling very embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
in the eyes of the arts organizations in the city.
So ostensibly, if this motion is denied, the money goes back to the cultural.
It goes
to
back
do
into
what?
The cultural development fee fund.
To do what with?
To
right.
We can't do anything at that point because this is this fiscal year's money.
Yes.
We're almost at the end of
this
fiscal
year.
So right. We can't. There's nothing we can do. If they decide to not fund,
mm-hmm.
I think good shot. I mean, there's nothing we can do.
To do what?
We're too late. I mean, the 19th,
right.
And was 2 weeks
well,
later.
Well, the fund is for cultural development, you know, the arts, cultural events, stuff like that.
Exactly, events, not just all for grants only. So that's
right.
When Mr. Moss has to do what?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to beautify our city,
mm-hmm.
No, arts for events, something.
It goes back into that fund, which is a $4 million fund right now. So it goes back into that fund. And although there have been in the budget, and those of you who watch the council, if you watch the council when a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, when they were talking about the budget, the cuts and so forth, there are a lot of requests for use of that. Some of that money, not very much, but some of that money, and they're good uses. There's one that's not, and I will speak to that night on Wednesday. But the rest of them are all good uses of that money. They're to the library, to parks and recreation, to events. So
basically what was brought forward by the council ad hoc committee regarding the cultural development fee fund was to because there was a budget reduction measure that included canceling all of our special events. So all of our Rendezvous Back to 66 with the
mm-hmm.
Chamber of Commerce, our Veterans Day event, our Cinco de Mayo events. So as opposed to just canceling those, in lieu of impacting the general fund,
mm-hmm.
That's proposed to be funded out of the cultural development.
Mm-hmm.
Fund.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask you. So that Cinco de Mayo and all that, where did that money come from?
That money's now, if this budget gets passed as proposed, the money to support those events is going
to
come out of the cultural development.
So the money
as will the money to keep the branch libraries open. So, you know, those are good uses of the money for cultural development,
give and take,
and community events.
So was the failure of this commission then, was our attempt to take the money and put it all in one, to give it all out to organizations like this, as opposed to doing?
I don't think there was a failure.
If we failed. We didn't. It was never communicated to us that there was a strong feeling against grants going to the school,
mm-hmm.
to the schools, to Valley College, and to Cal State.
We spoke to that ourselves on the
panel. Yes, we did.
Right.
I would say if it failed, that's why it did. Not necessarily the others.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the others.
If there's no money, what are we doing here? Okay. That's the way I'm looking at it.
You're providing, you as a commission are providing policy recommendation to the council.
But if there's not going to be
no money,
if they didn't give us any this year, they're sure they ain't going to allow us any for next year.
There's a proposal.
But that's not the primary purpose of this commission. The primary purpose of this commission is not to direct funds.
Okay.
It's to provide policy direction and be the liaison to your seated council member or mayor, whichever you serve as a commissioner, to relay the thoughts and feelings of the community. But you guys are policy, you make recommendations on policy. To be quite honest with you, and Michael probably has a lot more experience in this, to have a commission to be in charge of any type of a funding source is probably highly unusual. Is that accurate?
I would say, generally speaking, it is. But, you know, every year when the city allocates money to different departments, some of the commissions, there is funding there to accommodate different types of programs and such. But just to go on with what Jim's saying, I mean, really, as you're aware, they combine two commissions from one, right? Mm-hmm. So with that in here, the on the resolution just says City Council and all matters pertaining to arts, culture, and historic preservation and heritage. And really what the commission's supposed to do, like Jim said, is it's, you know, as you get feedback from the community on different types of things, it could be historic preservation, arts. I know I was meeting with some of the business owners downtown, and they really want the downtown to be more of an arts district, and they have programs as an example. One of the gentlemen says he wants to do a mural program as an example. City of Springfield, Oregon, as an example. They have a arts program where they have murals in downtown. They have a walking tour as a way to, you know, reinvent downtown and such. So what I think, what for me reading what's within the resolution, is basically, you know, help establish policy but also establish programs, make recommendations on what the commission feels would be beneficial to the city, whether it be something in historic preservation, really maybe at some point really adopting a local preservation ordinance as being one, or an arts district could be something else. These could be things that, as a group, cumulatively, you make positive recommendations to the council, that consider as part of their regular agendas. But even with what you took, I mean, quite frankly, I thought that most of the programs that went to the city council in regards to those that would be funded, I mean, I really appreciated hearing what all those organizations had to say, whether or not they were from Cal State or whether or not they were one of the small organizations. They all had a lot of positive things to say and really positively impacted those young adults, though, too. And that's really what the intent of it is. But unfortunately, we're faced with some pretty, you know,
and that's
trying
always
times
been,
with
I mean,
the funds.
It's always been an issue, even when it was just a fine arts commission, and not the historic preservation. It's always been an issue over the many, many years. In terms, if you look back in the newspaper articles from way back, I mean, these arguments have taken place every once in a while in terms of whether of that money. Did you want to speak at the podium?
Yes, please.
Oh. Then you need to get a speaker slip.
Okay.
From, it's a little late, but we should do that. My understanding is that there is in that budget proposal there's $60,000 proposed for the this
for the visual arts
and it's but it says, as I read it today, I think it says for arts grants, and I think again that it should just be for the arts, because exactly the things that Monica was talking about, that we've talked about utility boxes, we've talked about murals, we've talked about all these, and they cost money. And so I am going to hope that we can change that phrasing.
You know, I think we can take a different you can take a different approach there. If you guys do have a specific arts project that the commission feels strongly about and can convey the position of the residents, then there's nothing wrong with taking that recommendation to council with a recommendation that it's funded out of the cultural development fund. But I wouldn't want to, I mean, if council wants to set aside $60,000 for the specifically for the grants, then we can do that. We can always go back to council to ask for an appropriation out of the fund to support a specific project. And one more thing I wanted to go back and clarify, Rick had asked, where did this commission fail? I don't think this commission failed. The commission did a good job of doing what we had, what you had to do in the time that you had to do it. I think where the failure came about was the timing of it all. You know, when we're discussing $11.2 million deficit and erasing that,
so that
deficit,
just came up.
It just all manifested at the same time, and it's a difficult decision for council members. You know, it's hard to sit here and discuss cutting staff in Michael's department and cutting staff and programming in Parks and Rec, cutting $7 million out of the police department's budget, and then turn around and say, sure, take $300,000. They have difficult decisions to make, and I wouldn't, as a commissioner, I wouldn't place any of the blame on, you know, failure on the part of the commission. It was just the timing of it all. We had the gap in the time frame where we didn't have a quorum, didn't have enough appointed members. I think you guys did a good job of expediting the process and getting it done and really doing what council had previously directed you guys to do through the budget.
Evidently, is it Mr. Kim?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, you know, speaker time is supposed to be prior to when we go into the agenda. So I'm asking if the commissioners want to allow Mr. Kim to speak for less than 3 minutes.
He was here, yeah. Go ahead, sure.
Yep, so.
By consensus.
Mm-hmm. We don't have the timer, but you got 3 minutes.
Okay. Chair Dottie Garcia, you and I have met many times. And Mr.
Cataldo,
who was a part of the Historic Society, it's been a long time, but I know that you're harder than that. I have not met staff. I don't know anyone else. But I am a resident of Colton City. I come from Portland, Oregon, where I have an art gallery that I've had have been running for 6 or 7 years, maybe 8. Part of a community development idea that I had, and now it's very successful. And I'm willing to talk to you all about it afterwards. But there's many things I'd like to address. This budget that's coming up, the $300,000 you're talking about, I'd like to address the failure of this body to address the arts in this city. I'd like to ask you one question. Did any of you go to the arts awards at the Cal State University San Bernardino Fullerton Art Museum?
No. Which reception are you talking about?
The student. It was on Friday night.
That was the student art. Yeah.
Yes, the art school had their awards. There were some outstanding, world class artists. Two in particular. They are amazing artists, and they have been part of the downtown scene, little gallery, they're creating art that has community engagement. Art that is put out into the community and helped build and come back and present it. And it says a lot about the community, and yet none of you went out there to see any of this. You are the Arts Commission with power to set policy of arts for the city. This city has a problem in marketing, in perception, in just politics in the city. You as an art commission have the ability to voice to your to people who appointed you to set a policy that excites this city, to invite people like me who want to set up art galleries all over town, taking empty buildings and setting up pop-up galleries or permanent galleries. And yet, my attempt to be with it, to work with the city and to talk with you all and to coalesce people has left me feeling like I am not part of this process. The Garcia Center is a great resource for the center of the city. And yet, how much does it really function to keep the city excited about art and about itself? It has a lot of space back there. There's these programs and people that have spent time supporting it. And yet, what do we have from it? Next door, right down Acacia Street, you have a street full of kids who are going that go to Blakely, whose parents don't know their rights. There's drugs on that street. The street is full of potholes. There's people using bathrooms down Acacia Street. There is dumps regularly that the city comes and takes care of. That whole back wall between the Garcia Center and the park is a beautiful wall that could be painted with funds from people like us that want to do it. And yet, if we try to do it, we would have to go through the city, go through all these things that people don't want in the city. They're too busy to care about the arts in truly. You'll get arrested if you try and put up a little, you know, they'll call it graffiti. But this area is full of world-class graffiti artists. World-class.
Yeah, I agree.
And yet, they're called criminals. Because people can't tell the difference between graffiti art and tagging.
Thank you, Mr. Kim, I think.
Can I have a few minutes more?
We've gotten the message.
Well, I think there's a lot of information that I have that I would like to...
And we could call you in for some of that information as we talk about the utility boxes and as we talk about the murals, which are all...
Okay, so I would like to talk about the budget that's about to be passed on Wednesday night, which could be, given lobbying, passed.
Excuse
okay?
me.
And that is your job.
Your time is up.
Ms. Garcia,
everything that you're
with
talking
all
about
due respect,
has been done and has been done. Thank
the
you.
Gatekeepers of the city, I am just one person who cares about the city out of thousands.
Mr. Kim, we really appreciate you coming.
Thank you. I'll be available to any of you for questions.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. The next item on the agenda, I didn't introduce our other visitor, who is now moving.
Oh, sorry.
I'm answering her phone. I'm sorry. You were here before, but we didn't have a chance to introduce you. And so would you just introduce yourself?
Yes, sure. I'm Jackie Booth. I'm the legislative field representative for Mayor John Valdivia, along with my partner, Don Smith. So you might have seen him before, but last time I came, there was a quorum. I'm thankful there is. I'm really interested in everything you guys have to talk about.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
The criteria for designating historical sites, and Mr. Moss, you sent that to me, and I can't find it. Sorry, it just disappeared from the emails. And Jim said he has had a copy of it.
I think I sent a copy to. Jim sent a copy to everyone.
Oh, did you send one to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right. So I don't have it in front of me because I couldn't.
That's okay, because as a point of departure, it was simply really stating the criteria for, you know, the designation for landmarks at the national level, state and local, and I thought that was something the commission wanted to look at as we were pursuing our interest in developing a strong city component for historical preservation, culture, and the arts. That's sort of putting the cart before the horse. We got this money and we decided we had to do something with it and we tried. But everything that you echoed here are sentiments are shared by everyone on this panel.
That is our
we all have a deep history and concern and experience with arts and arts programs, and I'd be looking forward to talking to you more about that. But getting back to the criteria for historical designation, this was for the purpose of information for the commission as we move forward in trying to really establish a stronger historic preservation component with the extant buildings that we have here in the city. So maybe we can develop walking tours and such.
So our concern is repurposing.
Mm-hmm.
Those
right. So that's, Chairwoman, excuse me, that's sort of...
Could someone then, and I'm sorry, I always... I waste a lot of paper because I print everything out.
And I didn't
print
copy
that.
Myself.
And so would someone send me that, please?
And
then we'll know that we have that as we talk about the sort of science.
And I can resend it.
Thank you. The photos and murals you have in front of you, some of you have been so good about going out and taking pictures in your wards of murals. And you have in front of me a lot of stuff here. And we need to, the decisions we need to make are we done with taking pictures or are there still areas that we haven't covered? That's number one. Number two, okay, now that we have the pictures, and these have addresses on them, I don't think these do.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, these are yours. So we'll need the addresses if we're going to do anything like a tour. So what is your pleasure in terms of where we are with this now and what we should do?
Well, we should wait to get more pictures and put the addresses until that order. The policy in place for the mural, so it doesn't get like painted over or whatever. We need that order to go through. I don't know where that's at. So we'll be.
I have a question, though. What is our end goal on these murals? Once we locate them, we photograph them, we identify them, what then?
Okay, I thought it was, number one, to assess what there is, what's
okay.
out there. And some people in their neighborhoods know the murals that are in their neighborhoods, but
yeah.
they don't know what's there. So I thought that was the whole point, to assess what's out there. And then, and here's where we probably need some assistance. And then to examine exactly what Arlene is talking about, what murals are in adequate shape, which
mm-hmm.
ones are not, and then we also, which ones are on public property, public land, which ones are on private property, that's really
mm-hmm.
important, and then eventually, at some point, to have a map, to map them. So we have a mapping so that people who really want to see these murals can follow the map and visit them. And if we have any history on them, that would be helpful too, because some of them there is a history in terms of.
Like the mural in San Bruno High School.
Like the mural in San Bruno High School, exactly.
Like Will Rogers.
When we first, when I first got into this, you know, we talked about that book there. Was made in 1976 about the centennial.
Yes.
And you had a book and it outlined where each one of these buildings were at the time.
Sure. Yeah,
I thought that's what we were trying to do with the mural program. I'm trying to justify in my mind, what am I doing here? Okay?
That's right. And
so anyway, I thought, and that's what I've been telling people when I ask them about murals, and then I said, eventually our plan is to someday, hopefully, have a book or something that will guide people from mural to mural.
Okay, I think that's what you're saying. Yeah, having a location of all
these. We have never talked about that. that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All these questions pop into my mind.
So this was our general inventory for the districts that we represent, correct?
Yes.
But then I also think we need to decide what is a mural and what is an advertisement on
well,
a business.
Yes.
Because I see a lot of that
but
here, and clearly they're not. So.
That's a big one right there.
Yeah,
because if it's not, if it's a sign, not a mural, and I think we would look at in community development the code for what is a sign and what is a mural. And we talked about this several years ago in the previous commission because that was an issue. And so we would need to look, is there a code section that defines sign versus mural?
Well, there is. So in the development code, there is a sign section, and then there's a variety of definitions. We talk about commercial advertisement and then murals. And there is a definition that does differentiate between. So let's just say, for instance, you look at your first page, and the lower one, although it's a very handsome sign, it is a sign,
right?
Because you see art supplies pictures. Now, if it didn't have any advertisement for the business sign, it was just, you know, a hand with a paintbrush, you're kind of pushing the envelope, but, you know, they may not quite be a sign, you know. But if it was some other kind of graphic, you know, it could be a pastoral picture of some type, it could be, you know, more modern kinds of art or something, you know, then it wouldn't be. But by them having the name of the business on, that would definitely be commercial advertisement. Where if you go to some of the other ones, like, for instance, go to the second page, and it's the picture, and I forget who's the who's this gentleman right there? So that one, I wouldn't consider that. I mean, that's definitely a mural, right? It's on the side of our California theater, and even the one right below it also. You know, it's an artist, a rendition of an individual. You know, so those would be okay. But when you start incorporating words into it, something other. So if you had a business, you looked inside the business, and then you looked on the outside of the mural,
had any representation of what's happening in the business, then that's more of commercial advertisement versus it being an artist, a rendition of something. So, yeah.
I have a question. There was, I don't know where the location's at because it's kind of like they don't, no one says, but it was on a corner. I guess it was public corner, and it was like a beautiful, I think it had hope and love, or it had like inspirational words,
sure.
And that got painted over. And I'm like, that was probably stupid, but I mean, maybe because they didn't get approval. But the fact is, there was nothing like bad saying about it. It was like giving hope to somebody, or they would drive by there and it got painted over. So I don't know if they paint over again. I was hoping to look for it, but like I said, things like that.
Well, part of it's also then creating a program. I think this is what Jim had mentioned earlier. It's just if there's a recommendation to create a program within the city that would allow individuals to come in, and you know, if it's private property, get permission from the owner, and if it's not commercial advertisement, but you know, the community's got to really embrace it. And I think I mentioned earlier, up in Springfield, Oregon, right? If you go in their downtown, it's a smaller, you know, somewhat more suburban area outside of Eugene. They have this great walking tour of all different types of art. If you go on the city's website, it connects you to it. It actually gives you a map and it shows you all the graphics. But you can physically go there and walk around their downtown. Now, a lot of what I'm seeing in here is all over the city, so you'd be walking around for a very long time.
Yeah.
But at least there could be some interactive map which would show how to get to these places too, and or you could build off it. But I think what Jim had mentioned earlier, we talked about what the commission's responsibilities are, is to recommend policy to council, like adopting some kind of, you know, public arts component within the code that would allow you to do some of these things.
And that's kind of where we are, because there's an art acquisition policy that was written and never adopted. We've been trying to find it in the attorney's office. It's on hold, kind of.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Found it.
We did find it.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
And
but I've got it.
And it gets exactly at that in terms of and gets at your concern, because it gets at what happens. What's the process if a mural is peeling, is not in good shape? So what's the process? And that's so we're
but Dottie, I believe that only applies to public property.
It does only apply to public.
It doesn't apply
that's
to
true.
Private.
No, that's right. With private, it probably, I don't know whether it would be in code enforcement. It might be in code enforcement. It's
yeah,
a
so
private mural that's yes.
So every property has to be maintained. So whether or not it be a building that's painted that's peeling or a mural that's peeling, it's still going to become a property maintenance issue. So
sure.
They're going to have to. Whoever does these murals at the period of time, come back and do the touching up and clean up also. That would fall
sure.
into code enforcement's responsibility.
And my mural search, when I was out there looking for murals, I ran into an organization that they encourage young people, and that's where these walls are, a lot of them were painted already. They encourage the young people to paint the walls there and not out in the street. And the lady said that, like if we, you were talking about murals that have been damaged,
mm-hmm.
you could get like kids from their organization to go out and repair these murals, you know, paint over the graffiti and make them back the way they were originally without having to do the whole mural, just repair them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that would probably, that's where I was thinking, that would cause, you know, some funding to give that group, you know, once we locate and see which ones need work, which ones don't, get somebody like them involved with us, and their kids would go out, and then maybe we would supply the city would supply the paint and that.
Yes.
And then the kids would redo the mural so they all look nice. So when we do have our map, they're in good shape.
That's exactly what Generation Now.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Generation
are they
Now
still
is
around?
Doing that. Yeah, they are, but they're on a different. They're doing something different now. They received a grant from the California Arts Council and they had several different parts to that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the parts was to assess murals and repair. And so that's a list that I have of the murals that Michael Segura went out and did repair on. And that's grant, that's over with. We're not doing that now, but I'm saying that.
Oh, we're not doing that.
There is money available to do that kind of
responsibility. So even though you find somebody to do that, I mean, it was obviously there before in place, so can it be back in place so that a person can be designated or people can be designated to go
mm-hmm.
and check
right.
the murals out?
And it could be. And it really needs to be somebody who knows what they're doing, but there are those people.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I have a comment. Let's say, for example, you know the artist who created this. Well, there should be some agreement with the artist as to who works on her his or
oh,
her
absolutely.
Work, and even in terms of restoration. And these can all be parts of a policy that the commission comes up with. So my suggestion is if members of the commission have an idea for an arts-related project like that, for example, can we just bring this, for example, at the next meeting and as a way to begin our thoughts and formulate an arts policy? For example, we're talking about involving schools and young people in painting murals. Then we have to come up with a call for artists, and we have to come up with a theme and all of those things, which we've spoken of at our previous meetings. So we're just starting right now. So if we have ideas about policy or specific programs, can we just bring them here and start
hashing
them out?
Yeah, I would suggest that if we have finally found that rough draft, the draft of a policy, I would suggest that we get that reduced and send to all of us, and then we can look at that because it was done 4 years ago.
But I thought we got a copy of that at
and
a previous meeting, didn't we? I thought we were supposed to look at the arts policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, we were supposed to comment on the arts policy.
Because I had parts of it, yeah.
Right.
I had a rough draft
okay.
of it.
Right.
So maybe we did. I just don't. I'd have to look and see. If we don't, if you don't, and were we all here then? If you don't have.
I don't know if we were all.
Yeah,
I didn't have to look for it. I have it.
If you think you do not have a copy of that draft of the arts acquisition policy, then we need to get those out so that we can come to the next meeting and say, okay, here's an area that maybe wasn't covered
mm-hmm.
or that needs to be more better explained. Because it was back and forth, and the attorney, the deputy attorney that was in the city attorney's office was working on it, and then he got assigned to something else, and so it kind of died at that point. But
so it's a draft?
It's still in pretty much draft form, I would say.
Probably have students at Cal State San Bernardino that might be able to be involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's repair, develop a policy. But I think we have the people. We have the artistic people. And that's
we just
great.
Haven't formulated the program.
Yeah, the
that's
program.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, I understand Cal State. I mean, it's a good thing because they're in college. But there's so many young artists in high school, junior
well,
high,
you can go
elementary.
High school,
yeah,
sure.
But everybody always focuses the Cal State, the colleges.
All right.
Hello, the kids in high school,
mm-hmm.
in junior high, in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm just saying. I mean, like I said, I know Cal State is great. I'm not going to say bad about them, but we're talking
write up like a draft of a program you'd like to see that would involve high school students or elementary school students, and we'll bring it. Like if I brought a program that would involve emerging artists or something, I would bring it to the commission and say, this is what I think this could involve. And can we discuss that? We have three or four different kinds that we present to council.
That's great. So, is our next step is to take a look at their acquisition draft.
Can we get
some ideas for what might need to happen to that? And maybe it's fine. I mean, it's maybe fine the way it is. But let's look at that. And then, how, Jim, do we push to get that moving?
The art acquisition policy. I need to get it over. I mean, if you guys want me to provide it so you guys can take one last look and see if there's any type of changes or anything you think it's missing or needs to be amended, we can get that out to you guys. In fact, we can probably just email it out to you guys individually, and then you can come back at the next meeting with any recommendations for changes, and then from a staff standpoint, I'll probably get with Michael to make sure that from a code enforcement, community development side of things, everything is addressed that needs to be, and then we would have to get it to the city attorney for.
And then the next thing, the other thing, I mean, since the art acquisition policy is for public property, in terms of private property, can we have copies of what the code says, or how code enforcement would is there something written that we have?
Well, not, I mean, it really has to be something incorporated into the code. Because right now they go out there and when someone has, you know, we'll say painted a wall without authorization from someone, and they get a complaint, you know, code first come out and they'll cite it, right? But if there's a program set in place where, you know, we'll say one of these artists has an interest in, you know, being able to utilize a wall on someone's building, right? As long as you get the appropriate authorization from the property owner, right? You know, and it meets the whatever guidelines that the city would have, they can proceed. And I think the guidelines need to be pretty open and not overly unrestricted, you know? So I think we should think about what kind of program the city would like to see. And as you mentioned earlier, just to share with the group, I was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting 2 weeks ago, and some of the business owners downtown really, really want to move forward with a, you know, a public art slash mural program in downtown, too. I think I mentioned earlier that they even want our downtown to be much more of an art district also. So, you know, so back to this gentleman saying
that's
here, too. So,
also, and
you know,
that's so, from the expansion of the breezeway.
Yeah,
right?
Correct.
Right.
So, yeah, so
Arts
Connection.
And I just got off the board of Arts Connection. I'm still advising, but I'm on that, was on that board. The breezeway, I think we need to mention, probably right here is a good place to mention, that we did not get the Arts Council grant.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we approved the Arts Council, we approved that going to council, and for the Arts Council grant that would have given us $75,000 a year.
We didn't
get it, no. She's appealing that. The Executive Director of Arts Connection is appealing that decision because if you go on the Arts Council website and they show you to whom all the grants were given, and the fact that ours scored excellent,
Sure.
But they had so many that they had to make some decisions. And if you look and see where those grants were given, in San Francisco, Alameda County, Los Angeles, nothing in the inland area. And so she is appealing it on that.
Yeah. No, who's she?
Jenny Kane, who is the
Okay, for the record, that's just one thing. It was on February 19th that we were to review at the meeting in which the art acquisition policy was distributed, and we were to review it for the next meeting.
Oh,
so that was February 19th.
Okay.
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 Do we have real quick for a question?
Can I just related to all that you were just talking about while you're all here? So
I'm sorry.
You are chair.
I am the chair, and this is a commission meeting.
Yes.
And we don't talk back and forth. I'm sorry.
By rules, we can't.
We can't.
They do in city
no,
council.
No, they do not.
You could recognize me, Miss Dottie Garcia. Because what I have to say has to do with.
We need to work. After the meeting, we can talk.
Can we move on?
But the code, Mr. Huntley may know from planning that there is city ordinance to make it easy for pop-up businesses.
We're not talking about pop-up businesses.
We're talking about art gallery.
I'm going to ask that you remove if you keep this up.
Sure.
Because we're trying to get a meeting in here, and we have a lot of things on the agenda, and they're the kinds of things that you were talking about. So just listen. Okay. So our next step then is to come back with the discussion of the art acquisition policy and ideas of guidelines for private property. I think we probably need a motion so that that shows up in the minutes. Is there a motion to do that?
Word it again.
Then we will review the art acquisition policy, the draft of the art acquisition policy. We will talk about guidelines for private property. And
I move that we agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put this on the agenda.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah.
Are they all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, thank you.
Dottie.
Excuse me,
Dottie.
Who seconded?
Who seconded that? Oh, Ms. Moss.
Mr. Moss.
Did I say
that? Did you say that?
I didn't, but I will.
I said, well, I said definitely.
Okay.
I just need to know.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Did
I throw my voice?
And also, I think we need, let's look at what we have. Lisa has given us what we have, and so if there are any more coming in, we need to do that really quickly so that we can move on with this and get our math done.
Okay. Like I said, I got everything on my first ward and part of hers. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the only two wards I've gone to, but anyway.
Stay out of my ward.
Yeah, I'm looking at these. These are
anyway, if anybody knows of any murals that are in your area or you know, around you, need to let us know so we can check them out and you know, take photos of them.
I haven't been, I admit.
Yeah.
I haven't been looking for
murals. I talked to Ted and I asked if there was any. See, most of these pictures that I took, or we took, are on the west side.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see any of them.
But I know we got a whole bunch of city on the other side of the. So I'm sure there must be some out there. So if you have any or know of any, have somebody contact you or me or someone and let us know where they're at.
Okay.
We'll make an effort to go out and
you
take them.
You do have to take pictures? Okay, or get somebody to go with you.
Yeah, yeah,
pictures.
I can get my son to go.
All right. We'll
but
do
I may be able to do it.
Because
nice
there may
eat.
Be some out in the, out further west, you know,
yeah.
Further west than what we call a website, yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
By the next meeting, I'll have these numbered, and I'll put a location, and then we'll have where so all of these are identified. Like I said, he was taking pictures. I was trying to write on where they were at. So
that would be great.
But I'll keep working on this project, and like I said, if you have any or know of any, call me. I'll write out there and try to pick up more of it.
On the agenda is the subcommittee update on the utility box art. And Azel isn't here, and we had it on the agenda last month. We didn't have a meeting. Darlene, do you have enough? Or here's what
I have.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
I know.
You want to record that?
I thought they were just still waiting for the. As for like what was it? Let me think. I think it was just all waiting to get the that ordinance in and stuff. So it was really nothing, not really an update. I think it kind of like explained it's all waiting from Chantel to email. So we haven't received anything.
And it's been a couple of months. Yeah.
So we're waiting for
Chantel to give us a list.
Chantel, he had emailed her to see where the utility box is, what belongs to who, either city, electrical. So it's just, we're just waiting for an email back.
That was the holdup. I mean, we can't do much until we know where these boxes are and whether they're city owned or. And then the other suggestion we did talk about the boxes in the downtown area. These were just suggestions. Boxes in the downtown area to be wrapped, which is the costly one. Boxes near high schools to be actually painted upon based on designs submitted. And we talked about what we need at that point, a letter to principals and art teachers explaining the project. And then the cost, the wraparounds, we know. And Commissioner Herrera had done some work with trying to find out what companies do these wraparounds and how much they charge. And then the painted on, the cost would be paints and supplies. And in order to put designs on any of the city-owned boxes, we need the art acquisition policy.
We haven't talked about theme. We don't have a theme for it.
We didn't come up with a theme yet.
Like if it's a school, it's going to be based like their
mascot
or whatever.
That
would
make sense.
And if it's going to go like downtown, it's going to obviously be something to do with, you know, what's going on now, you know, maybe past historical, something.
Okay.
So it's going to be still.
That'd be good, yeah.
Well, we still have to come up with some kind of design for these things, right?
It's going to be written down.
Yes.
Sure.
But
this is a problem.
As for us, like, just say
yeah.
we have
exactly
10 artists that want to say, okay, I want to do this box. Okay, what is your ideas? You know, they can kind of, like, submit a rough draft or something. Say, this is what I want
to
do.
We're going to let them give us suggestions of what
to
put on.
I think to give, let them, that they're the creators. So it's like, we don't, as long as they add, you know, maybe, like I said, the Route 66 or something of San Bernardino, the logo, something.
And we talked about that, and when we talked about a theme, that could be, it could be symbols of San Bernardino, or it could be historical aspect. I mean, we have, and that we haven't, that until we get, until we know how many we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. How many box? How many?
So that's the update on that. Any more questions on that? And then, as we know, as we've said, we're waiting for the list. So, and we're waiting for the acquisition policy. Okay. Then the next item is the, and this came up because we noticed on a council agenda two or three times back. There was a Mills Act approval of a property, and we thought that the historical preservation part of our commission, we thought that those were supposed to at least come, there was supposed to be some input to historical preservation. You know about the line because you've done it before. And we didn't, and so we wondered what the process is.
Yeah. I mean, since we, you know, the Historic Preservation Commission was decommissioned a year ago, or a year and a half ago. We don't know what happened after that. We thought, you know, everything prior to that, we okayed, you know, did our window survey, and we decided, you know, what applicants would be accepted. But after, whatever happened after that, we don't know. So,
so I've had a chance. This is only month three for me, to be honest with you, but I've done some research. So I do know a little over a year ago they combined both of the commissions, and I had a chance to talk with someone from the city manager's office on what the Historic Preservation Commission used to do. Mm-hmm. One of the things you did do is you used to review the Mills Act application.
Right.
So in discussions I had, she indicated to me that as part of this reorganization of the commissions, that it was modified to where the city council is the only board, or I should say policymaking group that would actually review those. I mean, in some regards, I can see it going to historic preservation, to be honest with you, but a decision was made back when they consolidated it to actually just have that item go to city council. And I, again, that's as much information as I have, and I wish
I guess, my question. I go back to what Mario was saying about the Arts Commission, that as a Historic Preservation Commission, you know, I'd like to see more than what we did back then.
Correct.
But the only thing we did back then was the Mills Act. I mean, that was down to zero. So it's like, you know.
I guess what I'm going to show is just, I think, I've only been to this commission meeting once. I think part of you weren't here at that meeting. But just to give some background, I actually worked for the city of Pasadena for 7 years. And they're very strong when it comes to historic preservation. They have, I think, upwards of 16 separate historic districts now. Some buildings are on the federal, most are on the state, and some are on the local list of preservation, so to say. And the city's really embraced their preservation efforts. Like I said, they have a historic ordinance, or a local ordinance. So they have a Historic Preservation Commission, and they look at the Mills Act applications. They look at many more things, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you know, again, we go back to what Jim said earlier, it goes back to policy. That's something really this commission feels strongly about. The city should take a much more concerted effort to considering, you know, our historic framework. And again, this is the third oldest city within the state of California. So we have a lot of historic assets. So it's really up to you as an advisory board of the council to kind of talk with your appointees, you know, work on them, you know, and then work on policy that go to council, you know, and maybe the next step would be at some point in the future adopting a local ordinance, but having worked in Pasadena, that's a long process by itself. And you have an old inventory, I think it's 25 years old, 20,
yes.
25
years
old. Oh, that needs to be changed.
Yeah. So that needs to be revetted because a lot of the properties that were on there, some
to be honest with
you. And you have to find your whatever the hook is going to
correct.
Be because in Pasadena it's architecture, it's craftsman's home, it's
and
the multi-property districts that they have, and those kinds of approvals, and a city that's passionate definitely about historic preservation. They've had a long history of that.
Correct.
I mean, I would say that, I mean, I've spent some time driving around the city also, and you've got some really good pockets out there also, which I think could be, you know, that you could look at. Because, you know, as these years go on and people remodel their homes, those homes are going to change, and you lose that fabric. So I think there's a number of areas within the city that could be considered. So you got to find, like you said, that hook. How do you hook the community to want to support
that kind of reason? That was kind of the reason for asking the criteria from Mr. Moss was, okay, when you're looking at a historic site, what are you looking at? What criteria are you using?
The background.
And I just had a question down here because I only know of, probably Mr. Moss and Mr. Talbot know a lot about the Mills Act. I only know a little bit about it. I know exact sort of what it is. Some people don't know. And so we can have a concise definition of what the Mills Act does.
Sure. We actually have a handout, which we, and this is just the city's snapshot of it. If you want a copy of this, we can just pass it around.
Yeah,
but really, that's really just so that's just a quick snapshot.
Sure.
I mean, really, just go online and Google it, and there'll be a lot of good information in there. You know,
yeah.
So.
All right. So we I guess what I'm hearing is that we need to. As we talk about historical preservation, that if we feel we need to be more involved in preserving a property as per the Mills Act, or if somebody requests to preserve a property they've purchased as per the Mills
Well,
Act.
I think the way it was with the old Historic Preservation Commission, that they're using a Donson report, an antiquated survey.
Sure.
If buildings were marked, if it is the buildings in question were on that survey, then, and there was talk about possibly, you know, tearing the building down, then they would go to the Historic Preservation Commission. That's what we're told. If it wasn't on there, you know, the council could do whatever they want. And as it was, that was a big frustration because we never had anything, even though, you know, just nothing ever went to us. And it was a
You were toothless.
They were toothless. And I mentioned before, we were a rubber stamp for the Mills Act. And now the Mills Act is now with the council. So you know, right now, unless things change, we're a rubber stamp for nothing.
Well,
eventually it won't be. This might be a prophet or psychic or whatever, but I just
You're
see
predicting?
This change. I'm predicting there won't be a historic commission.
Unless this commission and commissions that follow it really have a solid
The one that was on the on the agenda was probably, I would say, a two-year process because it had been requested probably a couple of years ago and it finally found its way through to the council. And I did not look back. I looked at the address. I did not look back in our 30-year-old list to see if it was one of those properties. But it was a 100-year-old house. And so just from the point of view of whether we made a recommendation or not for approval, just from the point of view of knowing what's being requested, it might be helpful. I mean, so and that's just communication. So is there anything else on the Mills Act that you'd like to write now? We talked about looking at our rule, but that's, you know, look at that as we look at other aspects of historical preservation, I think. All right, then the next one is arts and historical preservation meeting frequency. Jim, do you want to give us your thoughts on that?
Through discussion, we had Dottie and I, when we were discussing preparation of the agenda, we had discussed the frequency of the meetings. Does this commission feel like it needs to meet monthly or cut back to 6 times per year and go every other month? I just told Dottie that I would look into what that process is. And the meeting frequency and time and date is set by council resolution. So if as a commission you do decide, Dottie, that that we want to go to every other month instead of every, instead of monthly on the meetings. Staff would have to just put together a consent calendar item to cut that meeting frequency back. So if you guys want to discuss the frequency and do you guys, you know, your need to meet monthly, or if you feel like you don't need to meet every month?
And you have in your packet the resolution about commissions, and then you have the stated meeting times, which were approved by council in terms of when commissions meet. Any comments on meeting every other month instead of once a month? We've been meeting once a month, and comments on that.
I have a comment. I think it'd be terrible to miss a month. We're trying to get momentum started, and if we only meet every other month, there's no way we're going to get anything done. So we need to see each other more frequently.
It's the old Historic Preservation Commission. If we didn't have a quorum, we missed that month. The next, you know, it's 4 months. So it's right. You forget what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, it's, yeah, I agree. It's,
that's my
intention. It really should be. I think it should be.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Until I get to know more about what's going on, if, like you said, we missed 1 month and we're 6 months behind. So we're really messed up.
All right, so.
For now, I think we ought to keep this till we get our, especially us new people.
Yeah.
If we
works.
Figure out what we're trying to do and get done here, once, then it'll be easier. I know you guys have done it before, but you got to remember, we're first timers over here.
There was an agenda item, and so is there a motion to, at this point, is there a motion to maintain our monthly meetings?
I move that we, I'm trying to get it out. I move that the Art and Historical Preservation Commission meet the third Monday of each month.
Oh, okay.
At 4 p.m.
Thank you. Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
That's what we're doing now, right?
Yeah, whatever.
So the motion is made to not do anything.
Are there commissioner oral reports? Sometimes we call them announcements. Anything?
Well, I've got an announcement. Well, me too now, so I'll start with one first. I'm involved with the Historical Society. We're involved with this anniversary event of Camp Cajon out with Cajon Pass. It's July 4th. And it's not in the city of San Bernardino, although the city had a lot to do with it. There's about several historical societies in the surrounding areas, the Mojave Society, that's the Mojave River Valley Museum, Highland, Wrightwood, San Bernardino, and it's been a 3-year project. We've got funds. Mark Landis, one of our members, has been really, really, he's been the workhorse getting, connecting with the Forest Service and Caltrans, San Bernardino County, about getting a location to build this monument, which is, he's calling it a facsimile, which looks like a very strong likeness of the original monument that was in front of Camp Cajon. Camp Cajon was in the middle of the Cajon Pass from 1919 to 1938. It was a campground. It was a barbecues. It was a welcome center for motorists coming through the pass, as well as people coming from San Bernardino. So July 4th at 10 o'clock, we have a big dedication there. We're going to have a big to-do, and we're going to have a lot of volunteers. We're having Albert Okura from Juan Pollo was bringing chicken. I shouldn't bring it up too much. We'll have 1,000 people there. But it shouldn't be there.
What's the address?
It's July 4th at 10 o'clock. Uh-huh. And the location is, if you go into the Cajon Pass,
okay,
on the right-hand side is a McDonald's restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get off at where 138 is, backtrack mm-hmm. on what is now called Wagon Train Road. And that was part of the National Old Trails Road. It'll be just backtrack far as you go, and there's a mine.
It's on the side of McDonald's.
Yeah.
And there'll be signs.
There'll be signs there. We're going to have, oh, yeah, a lot of people. We're going to have a descendant of William Bristol, who was the one who designed the camp. And we have this military band, Lieutenant Carlton, yeah, from, but you can play like patriotic songs and stuff, and scouts and all kinds of stuff. The other announcement I have is more personal, you know, is that my wife and I, over the last few months, we decided for a couple of reasons, we talked about moving to Hesperia, and we're up the high desert, and my wife has macular degeneration, which is a visual problem. And because we live in a two-story house, and we live in the Vermont area, in the Fifth Ward, that we would be beneficial if we were moved to a single story. Because our son lives in Apple Valley, which is only 30 minutes away from where we live now, but it's be closer. We decided we're going to move up there. So it's San Bernardino. We live in the same house for 30 years. I've been in San Bernardino 53 years. I'm still going to be involved with San Bernardino. I'm still writing for the Sun, still going to be involved with the Historical Society and whatever. But I mean, as a commissioner, once I'm not a resident of San Bernardino, I can't be on the commission.
So you've notified your...
Oh, yeah. I talked to Henry Nickel. Actually, I called again today. A couple times. So right now, we have two houses. We still have our house in San Bernardino, but so I guess technically I'm still a resident. I mean, well... We're still living here, by saying. Until actually Wednesday, they'll remove it the day of this meeting. So, but you know, just as a heads up, but you need to. I want to make sure you guys have a quorum, and I'll miss being on the commission. But it's
we will be sure we have our expertise too.
But you still use you'd use me as an advisor, a consultant. I'm still, and I'm not. You know, it's only 30 minutes further than what I'm here now, but.
Thank you, Nick, for all your service.
You're welcome.
Our visitor talked about art exhibits in the city, and there are a lot of them going on, and it's very hard to get to all of them. and that's understandable. I don't know if any of you saw, and it's over, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. The Prison Art Collective exhibit that was at the Garcia Center was called Beyond the Blue, and it was two full rooms full of art that was done by people in several California prisons. The Prison Art Collective is out of Cal State. It's coordinated by Annie Buckley, who's an art professor at Cal State. And they go into the prisons and teach art classes as if they were university classes. It's a university-based program. And the art was absolutely astounding. Mm. And so, and again, yeah, attendance was minimal, but it's really hard to get word out because there's so much happening. And we should be happy that there's so much happening, but it's hard to get the word out. Anyway, that's where that's.
Well, it's happening, but people need to know about it.
That's right. That's my announcement.
Do you have an announcement? But all right, we'll go there. People need to know.
Okay. All right, so I think we have items, pretty much items for an agenda next time. Probably have several things that we need to do. And some things we need to get. And if you have any murals that you want pictures taken, let Mario know.
Call me or send me an email and try to see what I can get him photographed.
All right. Any further items that you want to discuss? Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 5:10. I don't know. I'm hoping that, hoping Mr. Nichol can get his appointment done. Yes, maybe.
Well, I'm so too. I mean, I guess I can have to. I'm still have my house. It's a house not for sale yet, so it's
technically still be
around. Still be around, yes. You're right. So,
I would encourage you, if you can, come to the meeting.